We are now joined by tonight's race winner, Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 98 Ford Performance Racing School Ford for Stuart Haas Racing. Chase, take us through your race tonight.
Yeah, it was, we started 10th and felt like we were able to get to fourth or fifth fairly easy tonight. Felt like we had a good car from the get-go. Didn't feel like we had necessarily the best car starting off, but I knew we were going to be in the ballpark just from how we unloaded those first couple laps. Feel like you normally have a pretty good idea, and felt like we were just a couple adjustments away. The racetrack kept changing quite a bit, and we were just trying to stay ahead of that, and wasn't really sure which way it was going to go, and felt like we guessed right most of the time, and seemed like all night our car was really good on the long run. Struggled on the short run compared to a lot of guys, and about got crashed at the beginning of stage two. Me and C got together and felt like our night was going to be over, and then there at the end just got lucky that last run went green all the way. Like I said, our car was really good after about 30-35 laps, and kind of came to life the last 10 to 15 there, so we were able to take advantage of it and get up through there and obviously come out with the win.
All right. Our first question will come from Steven Taranto. Go ahead when you're ready, Steve. Steven.
Hey, Chase. Austin drove those last 30 laps without power steering, and he was telling us just now how his hands and his arms and his back were getting numb as he was trying to keep the lead. I don't know if you've ever had to drive a race car without power steering before, but either from what you've experienced or what you've heard, how physically taxing is it to drive a car without power steering and even drive competitively,
I've ran dirt cars that don't even have power steering, and it's really hard. You know, you feel like a hero, not a hero, but you feel like you can handle it, you know, for the first 15 laps of a run, and then the last 15, your arms, like he was saying, are just jello. You have no strength left. Your hands are starting to cramp, and you know, of all places to run without power steering, I would say this is definitely one of the toughest. And that explains to me why he started kind of fading there at the end so much. I asked him after the race if he was tight or not, because to me that's what it looked like, because he kept missing the bottom. And, you know, if he didn't have power steering, it was probably hard to just turn down to the bottom in general. So, yeah, he's definitely had a hard time. I would imagine those last 30 laps, this is a place where I would not want to run without power steering, and it's definitely hard.
And if I could ask you just about this tweet that came up, your wife just tweeted that you said, "I'm going to win today, and when I do, I'm going to point to you." And you actually did that as you got out of the car. What was that? Can you walk us through what that conversation was like, or what you said to her before this race?
Yeah, she hasn't been able to go to the race all year long, and NASCAR had it where there's a suite for the wives. So, I hate that she hasn't been able to come to the racetrack. And I didn't know if I was going to win or not. I said I was going to, but, I mean, you never really know. And I told her – I had her send me a picture where she was relative to the racetrack. And when I got out, I made sure to point to her just so she knew I was keeping my promise. I didn't want to be in the doghouse tonight. So, ended up working out that we won, but I definitely didn't know we were going to win. I felt like I was going to be pretty determined to win after the last week, but you never really know. But she keeps getting me in trouble with all these tweets. She keeps saying I'm going to win every time, and then – one of these times, it's not going to come true.
Well, I think you more did your job tonight. Thank you all. Thank you, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead when you're ready, Bob.
Yeah, Chase, have you gotten a feeling in the last 6 or 8 weeks just how this is a what have you done for me lately industry?
I don't know really what you mean, truthfully, Bob. I feel like
– Well, I mean that, you know, some people are like, oh, we thought he was totally ready for Cup. And then after the last 6 weeks, you're like, oh, maybe another year of Xfinity. And just, you know, people wondering kind of where you're at as far as ability and consistent performance.
Yeah, okay. So I feel like in this sport, you're always based on your last race. And I feel like, you know, after Richmond, you know, I always watch the race broadcast back, and they're – talking about, oh, we don't know what's wrong with this team or what's really happened. But, you know, truthfully, the week before Darlington, we led the most laps, was really good, and we hit oil and spun out. And it seems like people forget about that. And, you know, that's where I go back to, you're only as good as your last race. And, you know, your stock is constantly going up and down, just like the actual stock market. I feel like, you know, you have one good run, everybody's on the, you know, the Chase Briscoe train or the Austin Cindric train, and then, you know, you have a bad race and people start forgetting about you and saying that you're not ready. So, you know, I don't know if there's ever really any true indicator that you're ready. Every car drives different. You know, every, you know, ladder is obviously different. Some guys adapt to a certain type of race car better than others. And, you know, my big thing right now is just trying to win as many races as I can. I feel like if I can go out and keep winning races, then it allows me to keep driving race cars for a living. And that's my main focus. Whether that's in the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, the Truck Series, whatever, I just want to make a living driving race cars. And obviously my goal is to make it to the Cup Series, but I want to do it in something competitive. And if you're winning races, it helps you get competitive rides. But yeah, I think to a certain extent, what you're saying is definitely true, where it seems like if you have a couple bad runs, people think you forgot how to drive. And I don't think that's the case. You just have a couple bad weeks. You're never going to win every week. And truthfully, you're not going to be in contention every week. You know, guys like Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, all those guys go on the same thing. You know, when momentum's going your way, it just works out. And it's not that those guys forget to drive when they aren't winning. It's just, you know, they're having a rough couple weeks and stuff's just not clicking.
And also, how was the traction compound tonight? How did you feel it affected the race?
Yeah, personally, I like it when we can run the top and the bottom. I felt like watching last night's races, the top was slowly coming in, the middle to the top. And I felt like our cars were going to be really able to move up quicker, and they ended up respraying the track, I guess, this morning. So it was really old school Bristol. I mean, you couldn't even think about coming off the bottom. You know, even lap cars were trying to fight for the bottom just because it was so much slower, and you were really out of control if you came off that bottom lane. So, you know, I think as the race goes on, it starts wearing out and it becomes more technical. And, you know, it's just that traction compound creates so much grip. You know, it just makes the bottom so fast and really hard to pass. And it really makes everybody the same speed for the first 30 laps of a run, I feel like. And then you really kind of see where guys' cars start going and kind of seeing their strengths and their weaknesses.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Our next question will come from Chris Knight. Go ahead when you're ready, Chris.
Chase, congrats on the win, bud.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Hey, Chase, now that you're part of the playoffs, what does your team need to do to improve? Where do they need to improve to make sure you guys get to Phoenix?
Yeah, I think for us, we just need to not worry about other people. Just do our deal. I feel like when we don't worry about other people and just focus on our car and what our car is doing, and, you know, I just feel like we're a lot better. I just feel like we need to have a little bit better race cars at the start of the races. It seems like stage points are, you know, we had a 70-point lead, I think, or something like that after Indy in the points, and we barely finished in second, and we were 70 points down. And a lot of that just goes down to stage points. We just didn't execute stage-wise, and, you know, even stage wins, we just haven't been able to do that. And the playoffs, that's a crucial, crucial part of it. You have to be able to be good early. And I feel like, you know, not that we're not good early, I just feel like other guys are a little bit better than we are. And then by the end of the race, I feel like we're one of the stronger cars. But, you know, I would say that's probably the one thing we need to work on, is just starting off better. And then probably short run speed, I feel like we could be a little bit better on. You know, perfect example tonight, we just short run wise didn't have it. And kind of all year long, I feel like our strength's really the long run. And you never know, you know, some of these races might come down to a late restart with a couple to go. So just those are probably the biggest things. I think pit crew wise and all that, we're really good where we need to be. And just got to keep doing our deal and, you know, not worry about the points, just focus on our race and trying to win the race and let the points fall where they fall.
And forgive me, I know I'm getting older, but wasn't there a point when we talked like 2 years ago, like Bristol wasn't one of your favorite racetracks?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you started picking up on it. What changed within the past 2 years?
Yeah, when I first came here, you know, I felt like Salem and Winchester and Arco were probably my two best racetracks. And, you know, if you look at those racetracks, they're almost identical to this place. And I think the biggest outlier is they didn't have PJ1, and the PJ1 took me literally till last year to figure out. I didn't understand how to run it. It really just manipulated me, I felt like, on what my car was really doing and what I needed to do. I didn't realize how hard you could run in it. It just made me really on edge the whole time. And I feel like I'm still like that to a certain extent, but, you know, if I was at a 10% confidence rate at first, now I'm at a 90. So just night and day difference. I feel like I really understand a lot better what I need out of my race car and how to drive that stuff. And, know, that's the biggest thing here. I always, whenever it moved up to the top, I felt like I was good because we could run out of the PJ one. I just really struggled in it. And until these last couple races, I felt like I've made a lot of gains on that.
Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead when you're ready, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Chase.
Yeah, thank you, Lee.
You really seem to get into the crowd response with the win, and it's been hit or miss as far as having fans in the stands. Can you just talk about how, you know, how much it feels to have that kind of response where you know the crowd's behind you?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, you feed off that, whether it's, you know, pre-race driver intros or after the race when you win. You know, you don't want to come out for driver intros and nobody cheer for you. You want to hear them. You want to, whenever you win, you feed off of their reactions. You know, the crowd tonight going nuts. That was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of in my entire life. And just, you feel like you have them at the palm of your hand. Just but anything you say, it's like they're just waiting for the next word. And that's so cool. And as a fan, you know, going to racetracks, that's what makes it so fun, is when the place is going nuts, the atmosphere, you feel the electricity. And, you know, not that we still don't have electricity when there's no fans, because on the racetrack, there's still really good racing, but they're what makes the sport. They're what makes any sport, you know, is having fans there, that environment they create. And it's just so fun to be a part of as a driver, especially, but even as a fan, when you're out there and everybody's going nuts or people are booing, it's just fun to be a part of and just adds to the atmosphere so much.
Glad you got to enjoy it. Congratulations and good luck in the playoffs.
Yeah, thank you, Lee.
Our next question will come from Luis Torres. Go ahead when you're ready, Luis.
Hey, Chase. Congrats to the win. I was curious to know, walk us through those final few laps, and were you by chance aware that the crew chief told you about Austin's steering, power steering issue? If so, what was the mindset of trying to get to that bumper on him in the final laps?
Yeah, I had no idea that Austin had no power steering until I just saw him a little bit ago. So, you know, I knew, like I said earlier, my car was really good on the long run. It seemed like about 15 to go. Our car just came to life compared to those front two guys. And I kind of found something on the racetrack and with my brake levers that really helped me quite a bit. And I just caught him so fast that I knew I had to make my move quick, was the big thing. And if I spent too much time with Ross, then I never felt like I was going to be able to get to Austin. So I was able to get by Ross fairly quickly. And then I was just able to wrap the line so much longer than those guys. I could stay so much lower for longer amounts of time and really get good runs off. So I just felt like I needed to apply the pressure to them. And then they would hopefully pick up the gas sooner than I would and drive them off the bottom, and I could stay on it longer. And that's how I passed Austin, you know, and obviously now that he didn't have power steering, that's why he was leaving the bottom so much anyways. But yeah, I knew that if a caution came out, I was going to be in trouble, and I just wanted to get the lead as quick as possible and try to drive away, just because you never know with lap traffic, especially, you know, you could have a 10 car length lead and they'd be right back on you in one corner if you caught lap cars wrong. So that was a big thing for me, was getting to them quick, getting by them, and then trying to get as big of a lead as possible, just because those lap cars are obviously going to try to race you to stay on the lead lap.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead when you're ready, Jim.
Congrats, Chase.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
You obviously had high expectations coming into this season, and then COVID happened, and the whole season got put on hiatus, and now we've operated under new rules since we started back with no practice and no qualifying. Given all that, are you surprised at all that you've still been able to accomplish everything that you have in the regular season? And how does it speak kind of about your team being able to continue to perform at that level?
Yeah, I think for us, the no practice deal is you know, help to a certain extent. You know, anytime you're with one of the bigger teams, it makes it way easier to just unload good. You know, it just makes my job a lot easier. But I personally like the no practice, just because it reminds me of sprint car racing, where you show up, you can go to a new racetrack you've never even been to before, and you get two to three hot laps, and you're going qualifying or heat racing. So you have to figure it out quick and just figure out what your car, you know, how it drives, and figure it out. And you know, I feel the same way about this stuff. It obviously makes it a little bit miserable when you're off, just because you only have two or three pit stops to make it happen. But we've been really good about, you know, unloading at least close and being able to adjust it and fine tune it. And, you know, I feel like it puts it way more in the driver's hands with this no practice situation where, you know, you have to figure it out. You know, you don't have time to, you know, fine tune your race car to exactly how you want it to drive. I don't think anybody's car drives perfect all night long. So you just have to figure out how to make it happen. And then from the team side of things, I think it makes it really crucial, at least in our series, just because you're so limited on the amount of pit stops you have in tires, that you better make sure you steer them in the right direction earlier or you're going to be in trouble by the end of the race. So I like it. You know, I wouldn't be against having practice at a couple races like the bigger ones, but you know, I don't mind the no practicing. It obviously saves the teams a lot of money. And, you know, I enjoy practice just from a seat time side of things. I feel like it allows you to try stuff and practice to see if it works or it hurts you. But, you know, there's been a lot of times I probably tuned myself out, you know, for the race. So normally leaving it in the team's hands and the engineer's hands is a little bit better for me. And, you know, then you just have to figure it out as a driver.
Given that you opened the playoffs where you picked up your first win this season, is that as good an opportunity as it typically is under a usual year, or will it be sort of different because of the way things are operating right now?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different at Vegas just because, you know, when we were in there earlier this year, it was probably 50 degrees, and now we're going to go there and it's probably going to be about 100. So, you know, I think that changes some stuff. But, I mean, if you have a general baseline setup that you know works good, then you're at least going to be close. So, for us, I think it's super encouraging that we won there. You obviously have a little bit more confidence anytime you go back to the racetrack where you've won at before. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's a good opportunity for us to win a race. You know, I would love to win that race more than any other probably this year just because it lets you get through Talladega and the Roval without any worries. So, I think everybody's going to do everything they can to win Vegas just because they know they don't want to deal with Talladega and the Roval the following two races. So we'll go there and try to win. You know, I as far as I know, the plan is to take the same race car we ran there earlier in the year and pretty much the same setup. So we'll see how it works and quite a bit hotter weather.
Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
We'll take our final question from Dustin Albino. Go ahead when you're ready, Dustin.
Yeah, Chase, congrats on the win. You mentioned you couldn't spend a lot of time racing Ross, and with like 12, 15 to go, you guys made contact. Obviously, that's not the first time this season. So was tonight just classic Bristol racing, or do you guys just race each other exceptionally hard?
Yeah, I felt like it was, you know, typical Bristol. I felt like if it was the roles reversed, I would have got the same thing in return. So I try to race people the way that I know they race me, and you know, Ross races hard. I race hard. My job every week is to pass cars and win races. And that's the only reason they hire me to drive these race cars. So I'm not going to flat out clean a guy out. I feel like every pass I've made this year has been, you know, clean. I haven't wrecked him, any of them. You know, Pocono, I felt like I never touched him. Dover, I was mad after how he merged off of pit road. I felt like he would have been the same way. And then tonight was just typical short track racing. I felt like, you know, if I would have went home tonight, and Ross would have won, or Austin would have won, I would have felt like I didn't do everything I could to win the race, and felt like I had a winning race car and would have ran second or third with it. So, yeah, I don't think it was anything other than short track racing. I know that if the roles were reversed, he would have did the same thing. Anybody in the field would have did the same thing, especially at Bristol. I felt like I could have just went in there and shoved him all the way up the racetrack, and I didn't feel like I did that. I literally barely got on his bumper and just put pressure on him and, you know, got him off the bottom and was able to make the pass.
And for-